League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Grid Radio Network.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Level three. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Throwing it down. It's the Twisted Tuesday. Thank you to Andrew McKinnis. Quickest 180 minutes in Sports Talk Radio show. Flying by here this evening. So countdown to kickoff is on. We got the national championship game. But I'm just, for me now, it's the NFL playoffs. And I just want to get this weekend over with. I just want to get into, listen, we're going to be on live Sunday at 4 o'clock Eastern, and we're going to be on for, like, a bunch of really good games here, in which, you know, obviously the big-time stuff, including San Francisco and the Los Angeles Rams, will be on live during this game. We'll also be on live during the Arizona-Seattle game. Seattle could be a little bit of a spoiler here as well. You know what? Arizona played well against against the Dallas Cowboys. We thought they would. We took them. But Arizona have not been a good home team. And Seattle, you know, these teams, when they're playing carefree football at the end, they're not under pressure. And, you know, they can be a problem. In fact, I think Seattle are a live dog in this game. I would not be laying the points with Arizona. Arizona getting points, fine. And, you know, I'll be right back on Arizona when they go on the road in the playoffs against the Dallas Cowboys, if that's what the matchup is going to be. So, Jerry Jones is looking to win this football game on Saturday against Philadelphia. Philadelphia, on the other hand, have a lot of COVID issues right now. And looks like more so like Philadelphia are setting things up for the playoffs. The Dallas Cowboys have a couple of scenarios in which they could improve their seeding. Per NFL research, among 32 possible Week 18 scenarios that don't involve ties, the Cowboys will keep the NFC's 4 seed in 28 of the 32 scenarios. All right, two scenarios. A Cowboys win combined by a 49ers win over the Rams, a Seahawks win over the Cardinals, and a Buccaneers win over the Panthers would improve them from the 4 seed to the 3 seed. That is a distinct possibility. Like, that could happen. The 49ers could win the game outright. Seattle could beat Arizona outright. And Tampa Bay is going to beat Carolina. So I sort of get why Jerry Jones is saying we're not rolling over. Plus, they're coming off a loss. Right? You don't want to roll. You know what I mean? It's one thing if you've been winning games all the time and stuff. If you're Dallas, you know, you want to get going. Now, the other scenario for the Cowboys, which is highly unlikely because the Panthers would have to beat the Buccaneers, the Cowboys would actually get the 2 seed if the Cowboys win on Saturday against the Eagles and the 49ers beat the Rams, the Seahawks beat the Cardinals, and the Panthers beat the Buccaneers. So if you're wondering why the point spread is what it is, it looks like Philadelphia is ready to tap out in this football game. And it looks like Dallas wants to win. Level three. The late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Renzi. The pits, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. The Los Angeles Chargers and the Las Vegas Raiders. Sunday night to football. An interesting scenario. Very interesting scenario, although it would have to entail the Jacksonville Jaguars beating the Colts. But if you weren't with us earlier, if Jacksonville beat the Colts, then the Chargers and Raiders could play to a tie and they would both get into the playoffs. And we were joking, man, imagine if they just took a knee all night. They just did a little agreement. Yeah, we'll just both take a knee all night. We'll both make the playoffs after. I don't think that's going to happen. But what I do think is going to happen, and I've been telling you guys this, I'm convinced, man, the money's going to start to come in on the Chargers. It's a little bit of a swing. The money line is starting to climb right now. And that -3 is at -112. Chargers and Raiders on Sunday night football. What I find fascinating as well is that it appears more and more, and I'm not confirming anything, but it appears more and more that Trey Lance will be the quarterback for San Francisco. And basically, you know, not to get ahead of ourselves, but Trey Lance wins this game. Jimmy G's played his last game with San Francisco. All right, like that's how this works. You're the guy until you're not the guy. And it opened up the Pandora's box with Trey Lance playing, and now Jimmy G can't play. Now there's talk about him needing surgery. But what I find amazing about this is the point spread is 4. It was 5.5. So it wasn't like, oh, you know what? It looks like the kid's going to play. The numbers are going up. No, the number went down. Now, I'm not saying that it went down because, oh, did Jimmy G this or Jimmy G that, and he sucks. I don't know what the reason why it went down is. But, you know, but I'm just telling you it has. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why it has, because who likes the Rams in this game? Who likes the Rams? We just had McKinnis on, right? What did he say? He said, I just don't trust Stafford. I'm not buying into the Rams, right? We've heard this time and time again. And even with the quarterback situation, you know, I've heard people, we had Donnie Wrightside on earlier on Game Time Decisions, and he said, I don't care who the quarterback is. I'd be on the Niners. But everybody sort of likes the Niners but prefers the Trey Lance angle. Steve Merrill steps up and in the late night anger management class. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
The Late Night Anger Management Class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. We're breaking it down. Let's bring in Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com, WagerTalk.com, WagerTalk TV. Happy New Year, Steve. Always a pleasure. Let's do this thing.
Hey, Gabe. Great to be here.
So, Steve, after what feels like forever, the Washington football team announces that they're finally going to have a new name. February 2nd, the announcement will be made. And I think it's pretty convenient to make this announcement after the guardrail fell and nearly killed Jalen Hurts the other night in Washington. And listen, you've been to that stadium. And, you know, listen, man, we've seen video of, like, sewage and toilet pipes, like, leaking and falling into the stands on people. And now the guardrail falls. It's to the point. I've never seen this before. I was talking about it before earlier, Steve, on a program with Mike Tenier. Never seen it before that a player of the National Football League writes a letter to the NFL and another team telling them, what are you going to do about your crap-ass stadium? And it's a danger and a hazard.
What's crazy, though, is I grew up going to RFK in the 80s and early 90s, and then I feel like that's the new stadium. But if I'm not mistaken, it was 1997, so it's been 24 years. It's not that new. It's a quarter century old now, and I feel like it's a new stadium, but it's never been good. In fact, the only traffic jams worse than the I-95 snow blizzard jam yesterday was the original getting out of that new stadium in 97, 98. It was hours and hours. People would sit in the parking lot to get out on a one-lane road. So there's never been anything good about it. That's basically when I started not rooting for the Redskins much anymore, because they went from a great RFK setting to kind of a cookie bowl, you know, 70,000-seat stadium. And on a serious note, though, isn't it convenient also that the day after they're officially eliminated from the playoffs, They said they got the name now. And I think that's a good sign that maybe it won't be football team, as I feared. Because if I think they'd made the playoffs the second straight year with that nickname, they might have kept it, which would have been just god-awful. They said they've eliminated one of the eight that we talked about back in August, and Red Wolves has been eliminated. So I think that's a good sign that maybe Red Hogs, my preference, has a chance still.
Yeah, you know what, Steven, listen, you grew up going to the games. You know what, you were a season ticket holder, so your opinion carries more weight than I do. But it's one of these deals where I've gotten used to the Washington football team.
Oh, never. Don't be that guy.
I've gotten used to it. Well, okay. Let me ask you then. So, what if their name is the Washington Admirals?
Anything
now with that?
Anything is better. Football team is awful for so many reasons.
The football team is better than the Admirals are. Come on, the Admirals sounds like a minor league baseball team.
Well, it's a minor league hockey team here in Hampton Roads, the Norfolk Admirals. You know that?
Right? It sounds like it. Exactly.
Yeah, the Norfolk Admirals is the Triple A. Now it's Double A hockey here in Hampton Roads. So no, that's the It won't be Admirals for that reason. It won't be Defenders because that was the world team or whatever, the XFL team, as we talked about.
That was a pretty good name, actually.
It was a great name, but how could they possibly name it after a minor league football league, you know? So Admirals has to be gone. Defenders has to be gone. Football team should be gone. So that leaves us four. You know, Brigade is pretty stupid. That's Red Hogs makes so much sense. It keeps the word red. Hogs, of course, was the iconic era of the offensive line in the 80s and 90s when they won all the Super Bowls. It's a no-brainer. I've been behind it when they won.
Is there really going to be an NFL team called the Hogs? You know what I'm saying?
I think it's fine. Yeah, I don't think it's. Yeah, I know we talked about that in August. I mean, that, you know, could rub people. That's why I did get nervous, Gabe, when they had Red Wolves on that list, the final eight, as we talked about this summer. It made me nervous that maybe that was the way to get around the Hogs thing. But it made absolutely no sense because Hogs has a, you know, historical connotation to the Redskins.
I know, but it just doesn't. It doesn't sound. You know what I mean? It's too much of an insider thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that's who they're naming it for. You know,
like the Razorbacks. Like, you know, the Arkansas Razorbacks. It sounds cool. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but don't you think the name is going to be for the fans though? And I mean, basically everyone in the D.C. area still kind of knows the Hogs. They still wear the.
Yeah, but every damn network has to say it after.
Well, it's still better than football team. When I'm doing my analysis, like for my plays, when I've used games involving Washington. Like, I can't put football team. You don't even know who you're talking about when you say football team. And the network, like Fox the other week, they showed the lineup of the games. I noticed they had all the nicknames, and it said Eagles versus Washington. Like, even they don't put it on there because it can mean anybody. It's just way, it's awful. Everything about it's terrible. The uniforms are terrible, too. And as we know, merchandise is a big part of this. And I do think Red Hogs could have some pretty cool merchandise options.
Yeah. You know what? I'm almost buying into the Washington football team. My only deal is it sounds like WTF too much.
They've got numbers on their helmet. What are they going to do to change that? What's their logo going to be? I mean, have they been holding back for 2 years on us?
I don't know. I like their old helmet, man, with like the it's like this.
On it.
No. They had like – no, Steve. No. That
didn't work.
How
much is my merchandise worth, by the way? I've got hundreds.
Not a lot.
Oh, I disagree. You can't get it anywhere anymore. My alma mater, Wem and Mary, got rid of the Indians in the 80s. They got rid of the feathers like 10 decades ago, like a decade ago off the tribe logo. They don't have feathers anymore. So I got all these shirts that still have like feathers and say tribe. I've got all this Washington Redskins stuff, suspenders, blankets, ski caps. I don't know. It's a supply and demand thing, Gabe. You know how that works. You know how the collectible market works.
Yeah, but who's demanding it? Nobody.
Well, we'll see.
Who said, I really need myself a Washington Redskins suspenders?
Well, what's interesting, too, though, is like you watch the tailgates and the pre-parties and stuff. Like, you know, I see it more locally on the local news and stuff. The majority of people that go to those games still have, like, Redskin merchandise, which I also think is very interesting because they haven't sold anything since. Like, you can't buy a football team. It's, like, literally the numbers on the helmets, you know? So it'll be interesting to see what they decide to do. They got to do something.
Well, they're not going to keep it, the Washington football team. They wouldn't make a big deal about a new announcement just to keep it to, you know, the same name.
Yes, but it's in the running, though, you know? I mean, I don't know.
Look, they do internal polling. They do internal polling, but and they'll go with what they think is the most marketable, right?
Right.
And I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't surprise me if they went with the Red Hawks, to be honest.
Well, yeah, I think that's a great choice. I mean, I think that's the only good choice on the list.
When it's all said and done, that's my feeling, that it's going to be the Red Hawks. Right. It's a good name. It also has that sort of warrior feel to it still.
What makes sense? I mean, it has historical significance to it, too. I mean, you know,
I would have went with Red Tails, but to be honest, sort of with the Red Hogs, it's sort of like a movie name or a band name or something, Steve. It's not like it's not something that sounds cool for everybody.
Yeah, but
if you say Red Hogs, it's like, yeah, whatever. It's, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people don't want to wear a hog and a pig and whatever. And the same thing with Red Tail. They don't know what it is. It's like, well, what's a Red Tail? I don't know what you're talking about, right? Like, it's anything you want to confuse or you kind of like, You want, especially a sports name, it needs to be universal, not for a bunch of nut job old people hanging on to the past in a parking lot, Steve.
Yeah, but the Hogs is still known. You see a lot of people still, you know, I know it was bigger in the 80s and 90s, but
yeah,
people
still
know
the Hogs. Yeah, it was a bunch of fat guys with pig noses on.
Yeah, but they know the meaning, though, and it still has some significance to the team, and I think it's very marketable as well. Red Tails was a cool concept, but Red Hogs just makes more sense because it actually has something to do with the Super Bowl teams that won, you know, championships.
I don't think it is. I'm telling you, my own personal opinion, and just from a marketing standpoint, I just don't think people want to buy pigs or hogs. I think they want to eat them. I mean, people like bacon, but... You know what I mean? Like next to the Falcons, you know, the Raiders, the Chargers. And welcome to Red Hog football. I just, you know what I mean? I don't know. Like, it just doesn't have that ring to it.
Yeah, but like Defenders, none of those. But, I mean, none of those are really an icon. I mean, like Defenders, Brigade. I mean, they're all going to be.
They're all just generic, right?
Right. That's what I'm saying. So you're not, even Chargers. I mean, I think the Lightning Bolt thing is cool. I've always liked that. But it's still just, you know, it's a Lightning Bolt. It's like.
Oh, it's a great name, the Chargers.
It is. And I think it's a cool logo. But, I mean. Bengals, you know, it's like all of these. You're not really buying into the mascot. And Red Hogs actually could be a really cool mascot. I mean, there's still people that dress up as the Hogs. So I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, they also wore dresses. We should have that.
I mean, you can make an argument. It has been like 30, 35 years.
Yeah, I'm making that argument.
But I am. I've seen at the tailgates and the pregames and stuff. It's still embraced. And I'm telling you, it's mostly Redskin logos everywhere still. So it'd be interesting. I mean, if they really want to get rid of that, they got to come up with something better than just football team.
Well, no, you're right. They need a new identity, but you don't seem to get it, Steve. Like, people don't like that name. You can hang on to it and say it all you want and stuff like that, but you know, a bunch of old people like it and stuff, but it's not, you know what I mean? Like, no one wants to buy your Redskin merchandise. I'll put it that way, bro.
Hey, look, I've said from the start, it's not a good term.
Nobody wants to buy it.
I said from the start, it's not a good term, but for 75 years, it didn't bother anybody to the last year or two. You know, I mean, I don't think there's that much uproar about it one way or the other. There was no...
He's not that much up to. One
it was
way.
Stupid term from the 30s, and it just carried on. I mean, nobody in the 80s or 90s thought twice about it. So society's become...
People did. You guys just didn't care. No one cared.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Sure, right? That's the whole deal. I mean, it's not like, no. Anyway.
Nothing has changed the last 30 years, and now everyone's overly sensitive.
What do you mean nothing has changed in the last 30 years?
Term. I would never name a team that if I had to do it in hindsight, I don't think it was a smart choice in the 30s when they were probably racist as hell. But once again, it wasn't hurting anybody.
The 30s. Steve, they're still racist now. Like, do you read their emails? I don't know what kind of bubble you live in. No, nothing's changed in the last 30 years. All right, more with Merrill on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The late night anger management class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people of Boston, and everybody else in between. All right, every time we bring up the name stuff, we go down the same road with the Washington football team. So we're moving on right now, and I'll stand by. I actually think it's probably best just to leave it at the same, because either way, it's going to piss people off moving forward. That's one thing that I'll close this conversation with. But, Steve, we'll keep it in the backyard here. Never mind their name, but William and Mary, all right? The scorching William and Mary. Basketball team coming off of two straight covers, and then as soon as I want to start playing them, they're off forever again. So what's the deal? Are they in exams right now or something? Because I see they don't play until the 11th.
No, it's a Tribe. You can still call them the Tribe. It hasn't been canceled yet, although they're kind of moving away from that, it seems. They definitely don't say it as much, I've noticed. supposed to be at Elon tomorrow on Wednesday, but three CAA games were canceled last night on Monday. So there's a lot of COVID, I believe, going around. I don't think it was just a weather issue. I think it was a COVID issue, so I guess that game maybe has been canceled.
That's a good point, though. So what's the deal? The roads are all frozen. We're all ice and stuff, too. I saw people were stuck, like they couldn't move for like 18 hours as well, right? So is it better now? I know it's not as bad as it was, but, yeah, that would affect travel with small-time college basketball.
Well, that was That was heading up to Richmond in Northern Virginia. So William and Mary, if they're supposed to play Elon tomorrow, which I believe that was on the schedule, they'd be heading down to North Carolina area. So they should be okay as far as that goes. I'm trying to pull up the live odds here as of Tuesday night to see if that game's still scheduled. It was on the initial schedule. I have a feeling maybe it's been canceled. Six CA teams did not play on Monday night. I think a lot of it's COVID. They've had a lot of cancellations. It's just going to be a mess. This conference had a lot of problems last year.
The whole call, I guess, like, you know, you see it in some of the bigger conferences starting to get going a bit now once again, but it's been like there's no real rhythm to this college basketball season, huh? Like, you know what I mean? Like, teams have been off forever. You know what I mean? Teams have barely played. Like I said, they're starting to play a bit right now, but it's been really spread out, and there's been a ton of cancellations. Like I said, I just don't feel like there's a flow to this college basketball year this year.
No, I mean, it's been pretty rough. The last couple of weeks has been probably worse than last year, to be honest. I mean, the end of 2021 was every other game on the board is being canceled. I think it was also very easy for them to cancel a lot of those games because they were non-conference games. It's getting a little tougher now because some leagues, like the CAA, for example, has, if they can't reschedule, the team that had to make the cancellation ends up getting a forfeit, whereas the ACC has it that it's a no contest. So it's kind of all over the place. And I think because of that, you're going to see them start to try to play these games more. And now that they realize basically everybody is going to get COVID or get Omicron, you know, at some point in the next couple of months, it looks like the NFL and the NBA, as we've talked about, definitely are kind of, you know, what is it, jumping back on their testing, their daily testing. And I think College Hoops is going to have to some point make a decision if they're going to basically cancel every other game. It looks like the William Mary game tomorrow has been canceled because I'm not seeing it on the betting rotation anymore.
Yeah. No, they're not playing until the 11th. But that's the thing. It's like I said about the college football, and magically nobody had it, right? So they're going to pick and choose. They'll have this, you know, it'll be tough to get through it, but they're not going to blow the tournament again. You know what I'm saying? It was sort of like the college football playoff. It's mathematically impossible that not one of the players had it. There's just, it's like when you consider the percentage of people in the population that have it, it was impossible for none of the players. But as you saw, it wasn't a story, but I think this will be a story for the next month still, Steve. I think the college basketball season, it makes it hard for futures because it's too bad because I crushed the NFL futures and I did okay with the college football futures, but I did better with the NFL ones than college. Yet there's not, you know what I mean? There's no real future market for me to play right now. You know, the college basketball scene is just too on and off. And who knows what's going to happen with the Omicron. NBA is insane right now, in which there's money to be made with props, but it's tough to bet on futures. Just when, you know, there's so much uncertainty, Steve, in the sports world right now, it makes it very difficult to pull the trigger on any sort of future right now.
Yeah, what the CAA is doing, at least, I don't know about the other leagues, but if you have seven players, you got to play, and you have to have at least one coach. So, by the way, William & Mary's games on this Wednesday, Elon, and then Saturday, Sunday at Wilmington have both been postponed. I'm not sure which side that was on, but I realize those teams did not play on Monday either. So the CAA's got a lot of problems with Colonial. And the way the Colonial rules are written is you have one coach, so that's like one out of four, and you've got seven players out of like 14 you have to play. So that's how they're getting around all the postponements. They're going to basically make these have just, you know, half-man rosters out there. But that obviously, from a handicapping perspective, makes things very tricky.
Steve Merrill with his wager talk. All right, Steve, you like to talk about catching a falling knife. And listen, whatever is going on, it is confusing, and you've got to sort of, it's like I said, if you really follow everything closely every day, you can sort of get into the rhythm of this stuff and get into the flow. And there's going to be ebbs and flows to the NBA season and the Raptors. So the Raptors right now, Steve, this is as healthy as they've been all year. Like, you know what I mean? Like when they started the season, they weren't 100% due to health. And then, you know, as soon as the season started going, they had injuries, and then boom, they've had COVID, and they've been hit hard. Yet they kept on battling. All right, they kept on battling and battling, and now they get their players back. They're starting to put it together right now, a 3-game win streak. But even more importantly, I'm telling you guys, the Raptors are a play-on team moving forward here until the sky falls on them again, which I'm sure it will. But they're 8-0 to the over right now, Steve, in their last 8 games. And they are the best over team in the NBA right now. And people don't think of the Raptors as like an over team, but they are. You know, they just are. They play a quick pace. They're shooting the ball well right now. They're not really a great defensive team. They're not the biggest team, so they don't have a ton of size. And they're an NBA best, 21-13 to the over right now.
Yeah, and they're playing the Spurs, who, you know, on Tuesday night, the Spurs had been pretty hot about a week or two ago, and then all of a sudden they cooled off.
Yeah, they're a freaky team, the Spurs, yeah.
Right, well, there's a real ebb and flow to the NBA, and totals there's probably more so than ever with the over-unders, because the odds makers are setting their lines for all games based on the overall numbers for the season, and then they try to make an adjustment based on current form. But they're always going to be a little slow to react to extreme current form changing, and that's why you see teams like the Charlotte Hornets, for example. They went over 10 out of 11, and then coming into this week, they'd gone under 5 straight going into last night. So this is a situation, too, where the odds makers have been slow adjusting due to Toronto's improvement offensively, but they also haven't been playing much defense. The key to totals is pace. And the Raptors had gone over, you know, like as you said, several games in a row, shooting 41, 42% recently. They still went over the total.
And as you stated, the current form thing is a big deal. It takes, you know, the computer is more hesitant. I guess, you know what it is as humans, we're more impulsive, right, than the computer is, right, or than somebody that's heartless is, so to speak, that, you know, you're going to see what happens last and you're going to jump on things, but it's such a small sample size, the number really doesn't move, right? And, you know, listen, we talked about it. That's why, actually, I brought up William and Mary, right, because Teddy brought it up last week about, you know what, they're going to be a team to play on because they're going to be getting all these points and no one's going to notice that they've actually gotten better. It's just going to be what the power rankings are, Steve. That's why I was disappointed when I noticed they're not playing.
Yeah, but you got to be a little careful. One of the reasons the computers don't overreact is because, in general, one or two games, a small sample size, you shouldn't overreact to. And like that William & Mary upset of Hofstra last week that started the two-game win streak as a 16-point dog. Hofstra was 6 for 34 from three-point range, 17%. They shot 30% from the field, and they only lost by one. That's like the most extreme underperformance you could ever have, and they still almost won the game. So, you know, you're always going to have these one or two off nights. You just got to be careful to think, has something really changed? Have they gotten better, or is it just a statistical quirk? And that's why it's usually kind of a little bit of both, right? And that's why the point spread models usually kind of err on the side of being more cautious long-term.
Well, we'll speak again before the national championship game, but this is kind of the case in point here with Georgia and Alabama, in which, you know, they were just stuck, right? The computer liked Georgia so much for what they did, despite the fact that Alabama beat them and has beaten them every time since 2007, actually. Before the game, it was one, and now it's up to three. Right. So even after Alabama had won against Cincinnati, the point spread was still one. Georgia were minus one against Alabama. And then Georgia dismantles the Michigan Wolverines, smashes them. And then it settles in at three. And it hasn't moved right now at three. But I do find it fascinating. Georgia favored again against Alabama. And the only time Saban was an underdog all the way back to 2015 was against Georgia, and he beat him. And then so he was an underdog against Georgia a couple of weeks ago, and he beat him. And now, like, you know, I just find it fascinating, Steve, that the number remains the same despite the eyeball test and a reality check that Alabama just keeps beating these guys.
Yeah, but once again, the number was 6.5, and they played one game each since, you know. So here again, does that one game really offset the other 12 or 13? Obviously, Alabama manhandled them, but maybe, you know, I don't think Georgia
focused. It should if it's a head-to-head. That's the thing, right?
Correct, but it's still just one game. You know, you can have an off night. The kids maybe had an off night. I do think the focus effort, obviously, Georgia didn't have to win that game. They had about a 99% chance of getting in and win or lose. I mean, I don't know how much of that played a role. But when we were doing the show live on New Year's Eve with Sherapan, you know, I said 3, and I said, nah, 2.5. I'd open at 2.5, make the markets take it to 3. It's exactly what happened. It opened 2.5 when we last spoke, and now it is 3 across the board. The markets have taken it there.
You know, I don't really want to get in front of Georgia. I have a lot of respect for them. They are damn good. But, you know, Nick Saban is an underdog. Nick Saban in a championship game, Steve. It's just, it's really hard, especially getting points like this. And as we mentioned, you know, you look at Kirby Smart. You know, you said, Steve, yeah, it's one game. It's the one game sample. But they played 4 times in the last couple of years now, all big games. And it's always the same result. Alabama's won every time. And people just keep buying in. So I guess, you know what, I already have a future on Alabama as well, so I'm thinking about how I could buy out and hedge if I want. But I do believe in Alabama. I think Alabama is the smarter play. Steve Merrill, Wager Talk with us. All right, Happy New Year, Steve.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I've gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it, too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores, like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Always a pleasure going head-to-head with you and breaking it down. And we'll catch up with you on Friday, and we'll talk about the national championship game one last time. We'll get into the NFL as well.
Sounds good. Thanks, Gabe.
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, listen, I need some cash.
Before?
I just need it, that's all.
Oh, no. Don't tell me. You're gambling again, aren't you? Oh, you weak, weak man. What?
The Late Night Anger Management Class, Steve Merrill, always gets people. Me and Merrill have gotten talked about this name thing for a couple of years now. And sometimes we'll get into it and sometimes we don't. And somebody in the chat said, Morenci usually doesn't say anything, but what do you say? It was just a couple of things. I was like, listen, I almost felt like I was talking to Archie Bunker. I was like Meathead. I'm like, no, man, like, it's, you can't, like, and we love Merrill. But hey, you know, everybody's free to their opinion. And there's some people that, you know, and the thing is with Merrill is I don't think Merrill was against the name change in the football team, but he can't let it go. Right. That's my whole deal. Even when we asked Matthias when he went to break, like I told him, it got worse during the break. And I told him, I said, hey, listen, I said, I haven't been called that name for like years, all right? Because it was like the Washington football team. He's talking about people wearing that stuff in a parking lot. I said, those people are wearing that stuff in a parking lot because they want to, okay? Like, those are the same people, like, you know what I mean? They're doing a tomahawk chop and stuff like that, all right? But yeah, we love Merrill. All right, I was seeing Nate Diaz is trending on Twitter, and I thought, oh, yeah, was he smoking some weed, big spliff or something? So Dustin Poirier says he's agreed to a super short-notice fight against Nate Diaz. It's one of these deals where I'm like, cool, but I just didn't jump, Matthias, you know what I'm saying?
Dave, that's happened so many times with Nate Diaz. He'll say some stuff. Yeah. I know Dustin wants to fight Nate, but the business is never going to be
Dustin
right.
Is the one that says he's doing it. So it's not even coming from Nate. It's coming specifically from Dustin.
Yeah, but then Nate went on Twitter and said the same old thing.
Well, you better pay me. I got to get paid.
Well, no, he always says that. Dustin jumps out. You know, I told Dana it's cool, but your camp says that you suck, so you don't want to fight. You know, it's the same old type of touch butt stuff.
So you're not even buying in at all? At all? Like, you're like,
nah, man. I fell for it at least 10 times in my life. I'm not going to make it an 11th.
That's funny. Normally, it'd be the other way around. I'm like, hey, look at this. And you're like, nah. Well, I just admitted though, I said cool, but yeah, you know what I mean? I'm like, okay, whatever. I don't, like I said, I don't think with Diaz, like, I don't know how interested Diaz is in the fighting. Poirier said, no contract has been signed yet, but if it does go through, I'm gonna take it. What the hell? Well, no contract. If it does go through, I'm gonna take it.
I'll tell you what, Gabe, I do think that those two guys will fight in the next couple years at some point. That's
yeah, because they're the two.
While.
Yeah, the two dudes that fought Connor. And what, the winner will fight Connor again, whatever. You know, or is that their deal? Or is Connor really going to get an Olivier fight? And he is, isn't he? He really is.
He's going to get it.
Because Olivier is going to give it to him. And you know what?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Because even me, I thought when I saw him, like, oh yeah, you know, title shot, let's go. I'm like, F off, bro. You don't deserve any title shot. And then I see Olivier, oh, let's do it. It'd be an honor. And then I realized, Matthias, I'm like, oh, man, like, Olivier doesn't even care. He just wants the money now, too, right? Olivier is like, yeah, I'm not fighting Gaethje. I'm going to get punched in the face. I won't make as much money. And I can beat Conor McGregor. Like, Conor McGregor is like, he's like a mark now. Like, everyone's lining up to fight him. It would be an honor to fight you. It would be an honor, sir. So, yeah, that's just crazy
it's
right there.
Life-changing money.
Exactly.
I think that Oliveira, he's already been through the shed so many times.
Yeah, he doesn't need to prove his toughness to anyone anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah, so now he's like, no, just give me the money.
His last one.
Yeah, give me the money.
And then he's done. Then retire. You know, that's how you retire on top of the hill. Win or lose, Gabe. Win or lose. He's already defended the belt.
He's a champion now. I think in his mind, he wouldn't care if he lost. Exactly. If he made like $5 to $10 million, he'd be like, so what?
Done.
Like, exactly.
Done.
He'd be like, I won the title.
From
I
the
did what I wanted to do.
To the best home in Brazil, you know, from the favela to the top.
And the other thing I want to get to, too, is I see the Paul stuff with Madsaval. And listen, I like Game Bread, cool dude and stuff. So I'm not anti-Madsaval, but like, dude, you see he wants $20 million and stuff. Like, what are you, crazy? like, what are you, insane? He wants $20 million to fight, like, Paul? Right? That's the whole thing. It's like, you know what I mean? If you're going to say you're going to knock him out, don't get crazy with the money and stuff like that after. But Paul really is getting into the UFC's head a little bit now. It actually worked. It's crazy. No one ever rattles them. Like, it's amazing. He is doing the exact same thing to them what they did to Floyd Mayweather. And it's funny when you see Dana White say this now. Oh, Jake Paul's just trying to make a name off of us, right? Oh, you see, he just wants to knock out our fighters and whatever. He's going off. Remember in the old days, guys, Dana White said that Ronda Rousey would beat Floyd Mayweather. Remember that? And then they actually hustled Floyd into it. Right? They hustled Floyd into the fight. And Floyd did it because he made like $100 million. So he did it. Right? But I remember before that Dana White and the UFC, they used to always compare everybody to Floyd. Always. Oh, he's better than Floyd. Oh, he'd beat Floyd. Oh, he's better than Floyd. She's better than Floyd. Oh, she'd break Floyd's arm. Everybody was better than Floyd. And then their supposed great wonder was one here. Conor McGregor gets schooled by Floyd when Floyd went to the strip club in Burger King the night of the fight. Like, he literally did, too. Like, just to, like, show off. Like, he literally did. Like, you know what I mean? Like, most boxers, they're serious training and all that. Like, Floyd Mayweather was at his strip club all night. The night before the McGregor fight, and he ate Burger King the day of the fight. Like, just as an F you, like, just to show, like, listen, like, I'm eating Burger King, bro. Like, you know, you just trained and I'm eating Burger King and I'm not even going to try. I'm going to carry you for 5 rounds and as soon as the fight's officially over for the total, I'll finish it. Right? And that's exactly what happened. And Mayweather didn't even hide it. He said, oh, he goes, we can't charge. Remember, Mayweather didn't even hide it, Matthias. Mayweather said, we can't charge people all this money and have me knock them out right away. Right? What'd he say? I was like, oh, slam me over here, boy. You know, like, he said, he goes, come on, man. He goes, people are paying money. They dress up. They come out to the arena. He goes, you got to put a little bit of a show on. Right? Like, Mayweather totally got it, and he said it. He did it, right? That's what he did. He was like, all right, now I'm getting tired of this. Now I'll just raise it up a notch and end it, right?
Gabe, I think he told his boys, make sure you place that bet on the ninth round.
Oh, you're damn right.
That's when it's going to happen. And we're going to go home an even richer couple. And you know what, Gabe? That's the way that it goes. I want to know who Logan Paul's going to fight next, because based off the rumors, he didn't sell very well. And the fact that he blamed the Young Fury, you know, they sold that fight. I don't think that made him look very good, because I wouldn't have bought it. I wouldn't have bought that fight even if it was Fury versus Jake Paul or Logan Paul.
No, the thing with the Pauls, and what did I tell you about him? What did I say? And I was bang on, bro. I said, what? You're doing this again already? You know what I mean? Like, you hustle people, bro, and you're great at it. I give him credit. Like, I really do. Like, I give Jake Paul more low, but I give Jake Paul the credit. He's hustled people. He's made himself a name. He's made a ton of money and stuff. But the thing is, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And literally and fairly, it's the cliche that is true. You can't, you know what I mean? There's a reason why the circus only comes to town once a year. There's a reason why bands only come to town. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, every 2 years. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you leave people wanting more, bro. Right? Don't, like, and another thing is, because now it's like, yeah, whatever. And the thing is, it's more of it, you know what? And the thing is, Matthias, it shouldn't be used against him, because honestly, Logan's another story, right? You know, he's more of the whatever. Jake is the bigger one, the star one, at least. But the thing with Jake is, dude, he's messing up these MMA guys, right? He is. Like, Dana can say, oh, you're fighting old guys. Well, whatever, dude. You're your champ. They're not that old. And he's beating them down. So, you know, he needs a bigger opponent. He needs a real, like, he needs to bait Conor McGregor into this somehow, right? That's his goal. Like, they're all just sort of hustling each other here. But I was surprised to see Dana do the video defending that he does cocaine, and he got pretty defensive. Like, I was surprised. I was like, wow, like, Jake Paul's actually gotten to him a bit here. Basically, Jake Paul said he would retire if Dana White would do a cocaine test for the next 10 years. man, Dana, like, didn't seem to appreciate it very much. Says, all right, you do a steroid test.
I think the best thing that he put in that letter was make the base salary for every single fighter to be at least, what, 50K a fight?
50K and not the 12K
a fight.
Yeah, well,
yeah, I was like, you know what? That, they should do that. I wouldn't mind that one bit.
It's too much, 50K. Even I'll defend him on that. It's too much. You can't pay every stiff 50K, Matthias, that's on a UFC card. It's ridiculous.
Let's make it 35 or 30.
Not for the opening fights and stuff like that. And, like, you know what I mean? The first, come on. Listen, man, I don't think people realize, like boxing, the undercard and stuff, bro, they're making like $800 and $3,000. I've always thought that the lower tier UFC fighter gets paid fairly because they're nobodies. And I think the top tier guys get treated okay. I've always thought it's sort of the mid tier vet guys, right? That have sort of been there with the blood, sweat, and tears for like years and years. Like, how much money has Neil Magny made? You know what I'm saying? A guy like Neil Magny, Matthias, you know what I mean? You know, like, how much money has he made in his career?
True company men, you know? They do all the right things. They take all the right fights. They lose,
I know,
they
but
win,
like,
they lose, they win.
No, but like, it, you know, like, even, you know what I mean? Let's say you fight three times a year, bro, if you're lucky, and it used to be three, four, now it's two, right? But it used to be three. So let's say you fight three times a year, bro. You make 40K a fight, all right? So you made 120K, you get tax, you got to pay your trainers and everything. What are you doing? What kind of life is that? And you're getting kicked in the head by Khabib and grounded and pounded on and stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, to me, that's the thing. Like, I think if the entry level, I think, is good in the UFC, I think there's sort of that sort of window where you just start being there and you're just getting your face bashed in and it's just like rinse and repeat and you're not really going anywhere. You know, I think that's an issue. And then you sort of get the mega guys that still are kind of, I don't know, they're underpaid in a sense, but the UFC has done a brilliant job. And somebody told me years ago about the UFC, and they were close to them, man. We were in like a, it was like a poster, and they pointed and they go, you notice how it's not the fighters on the poster, right? They said, you notice like it says UFC 97. It doesn't say like John Jones versus, like it says UFC 97. Now John Jones on the poster, but he's not the feature, right? Like they don't, it's very like college like, right? They're selling the brand, not the fighter, right? Like that sort of, I don't care if you quit, next man up. And it's been true. It's been true. I think personally, the enthusiasm for the UFC is sort of at a low right now in the sports fandom world. But at the same point in time, the UFC is making more money than they've ever made before. And there will be more money to be made in the Asian and world markets to come. So it's sort of like they're like a really big band. It's like, yeah, man, remember the old days, and that was a great, remember the ride.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Lightning Tour. Now it's like, yeah, you know, whatever. They put another record out, you know. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Talk Radio. Loading up the MMA lines over at FanDuel right now. So what do we got coming up? Jennifer Maya and Chukagan. I got to see this. Ngannou's fighting, right? Ngannou was fighting Gon. When's that fight?
Yeah, that's in Anaheim. That's the next UFC in Anaheim. I will be there January 22nd. Unless COVID says otherwise.
Oh, boy, yeah. Well, the UFC doesn't care about COVID. You're good. Although Anaheim could.
Oh, California
You're right, the
does.
City
yeah,
could.
That's
yeah,
the one thing. Maybe the state
that's a
does.
Good point. Yeah, yeah. That card's going to be going on, Matias. It might not just be there. Like that card will be on. Wow. That fight is a pick 'em. It's a pick 'em right now at FanDuel. Minus 108 on each side. Ngannou and Ciryl Gane. Wow, a lot of respect for Gon here.
It'll be a tremendous atmosphere, Gabe. You know, there's going to be a lot of Mexicans in there. We got a lot of Mexicans fighting on that card. Brendan Moreno is going to be defending the flyweight belt against Davison Figueiredo, and you know that place is going to be crazy in there.
Yeah, well, that doesn't have anything to do with the guy from France and the two French
Well, I wonder
guys,
if anybody
it?
Will get a little stage fright. You know, it'll be a little rowdy in that arena, you know, from start to finish. It's not going to be
think,
slow.
What do you think, Ngannou is going to get stage fright from the crazy Mexicans in the arena?
I think Ngannou has a little, you know, a little intimidation towards Gon. I think Gon has been intimidating Ngannou a little bit, just a tad. I think there's a little hitch in his step, Gabe.
Francis Ngannou would intimidate.
Good.
He would intimidate the devil. All right, like listen, Gon is good. I'm going to give credit to my boy Gamblu. We should get Gamblu on. We haven't spoke to him in a little while. We have off the air, but my boy Gamblu. I remember years ago he said, "Gon, this guy's going to be like the future heavyweight champion." I said, "Really? This guy doesn't even look that good." He goes, "I'm not saying he's great, but I think he will be." And here he is. I got to go with the Ngannou. Look forward to talking about this fight. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
look, you have a simple choice. Keep listening.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.